This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the Friday Shooterette, your K-State basketball show. Presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. Now let's go to the Flint Hills, home of GPC's Hidden Studio. Here's your host, Ryan Gilbert.
Back-to-back wins for Kansas State. The Wildcats are back on the bubble, a win over BYU on Saturday, and most recently an overtime victory over West Virginia at home, both of those inside of Bramlage Coliseum. And so the BYU win, Clint, was very impressive, and I think it's safe to say that that win over West Virginia had us all a little bit nervous, but as they say, a win's a win, right?
That's any way you can get it this time of the year, you got to get it. So whether that means you give up a 25-point lead, but you still figure out a way to win, hey, you come out on the winning side, so that's always good.
Before we break down both of these games, a quick message from our friends at Booth Creek Wagyu.
From the tailgate to the back deck, remember to elevate your grilling this season with our friends from Booth Creek Wagyu. Their ranch is located just north of Manhattan and proudly raises authentic Wagyu beef from farm to table. Visit their retail locations in Manhattan and Overland Park or online at boothcreekwagyu.com.
Before we break down both of these games, Clint, overall, the NCAA tournament, you know, back when we were recording this last week, you know, seemed a little far-fetched and K-State was going to have to catch fire. Well, back-to-back wins, and now you look at the bubble, K-State's back in the mix. And so, you know, we talked about five to grind, right, at the end of the games and how that's, you know, allowed K-State to win those overtime games. But five to grind these last five games, K-State, you said they need to get four out of those last five. They're off to a 2-0 start now.
Yeah, and it's nice to see, you know, obviously protect home court. We had to protect home court. So I think, you know, that fell in our favor of having, you know, our first two games at home and this last five. Now we got to go on the road and play better on the road than what we have in the past. And but we're right where we need to be. You know, I think if you're thinking about K-State, we hold our own destiny, you know, and so it's in our hands to finish strong and then make this push towards the NCAA tournament. You know, I think Tyler Perry, he said it. He said, you know, I'm only focused on those four letters, you know, then that's the NCAA tournament, you know. And so, you know, hopefully we can get there.
Let's go back to the BYU game, Clint. Just your thoughts from that one. Arguably that was the best conference game, you know, from start to finish. K-State held a comfortable lead for most of that game. Just your thoughts and takeaways from that BYU win.
Yeah, you know, it started off really well. You know, I think Tyler Perry, you know, making some shots early. You know, we talked about, you know, jumping on BYU from the very beginning. You know, we're at home, and you know, if you can jump on them from the very beginning and cause them to call an early timeout, which we did, you know, started out 12-2. But, you know, Perry's level of difficulty in making shots to start the game, I think just brought a lot of confidence, not only for him, but just for our team. You know, he makes his first shot coming off of a down screen. You know, it's a really, it's probably a 9 out of 10 difficulty, you know, contested left, right, you know, three-point shot, and then his next shot is in the corner, and I mean, shot clock's winding down, and kind of one-on-one jab step and shooting it over a guy, probably a 10 out of a 10 difficulty, and then his third shot's an and-1-3, you know, and so I think it really just kind of set the tone for us being able to make shots and shoot the basketball well, you know, and then obviously Arthur stepped up later, but for us to come out early, I mean, you know, get the crowd involved early, I think that was really key for us to play well against BYU.
I mean, you look at what BYU did the other night against KU in Allen Fieldhouse, right? That makes that win look even that much more impressive. But you mentioned Tyler Perry, right? We've talked about this time and again, okay? Second half of games, he really gets it going. But if you can find that consistency, find that confidence early on, so that he's set for a full 40 minutes of good basketball. You know, he set a career high against West Virginia on Monday with it was 28, 29 points. And so, you know, Perry, if he can get going for the full entirety of the game and find that game in and game out, he takes his team to a whole new level.
Yeah, and I think he's finally, you know, we're seeing some, he's getting just more comfortable even playing off the ball, you know, and that's why I think part of the reason why Data Ames has been starting, you know, is allow Perry to kind of get off the ball and come off screens where he's in a catch and shoot situation versus having to create his own shot off the dribble so much, you know, and I think that's where we're seeing kind of the fruits of that. And you know, where Coach Tank said, hey, he's one of the best shooters in America, you know, we can see it, you know, off the ball and in the catch and shoot situation. So him getting going early, I think just helps our team because we know what he can do late and just really boost us early on and start feeling good. Right. And anytime you can make shots early in the game, you know, I think it helps the defense and then teams really have to start focusing on him, which then allows guys like Arthur or Cam to step up later.
Let's switch gears now. West Virginia, Clint, I don't know. Did you see Jerome Tang's comments about the student attendance and the fans?
Yeah, I did, and
your take on that. I mean, the crowd, you can't deny that was one of the worst crowds of the season. What do you make of Jerome Tang's comments?
Well, you know, it's tough, right? I mean, I think we'd like to see us to have, you know, obviously more support at a home game. It's a Tuesday night game. You know, where, you know, I don't know what students have going on a Tuesday night, but you think they'd be able to hopefully make it out to the game. But, you know, you're playing one of the bottom teams in the Big 12 and maybe just not a lot of energy, you know, for the opponent that we're playing. But, you know, we obviously need, you know, we need our community there, need the students there, especially, you know, that are right there in Manhattan. They don't have to travel in from you know, surrounding cities or even states to get to the game. And so, you know, we need those guys showing up. And like I said, this team still has an opportunity to make the NCAA tournament. And, you know, we're going to have another home game. You know, we got one home game left, and we're going to need them there for that senior night against ISU. So hopefully, you know, they can take that into account and realize that, you know, they make a difference. And then that's the biggest thing is when we have a good crowd, it makes a difference. It helps the guys. It energizes the team, and it helps us play our best basketball.
I talked about this on our questions podcast earlier in the week about just how Jerome Tang's been outspoken with when you play Kansas. You know, you can see how, you know, Bramwell just sold out. The student section's filled up, and he wants it to be people show up, right, for the love of Kansas State rather than who the opponent is, the hatred for the opponent. And so I think that's probably more one of the frustrating parts for Tang is, okay, there's no denying West Virginia, not the best team in the Big 12. They're, you know, one of the worst, but still he wants fans to show up for that love of the Wildcats rather than the opponent.
Yeah. And that's obviously what you hope, right? It doesn't matter who we play. It's, you know, when you build a program to where people want to be there and want to support and are passionate about the team and about the guys and what they're trying to do. And, you know, that's ultimately the level we're trying to get at every single game, you know, whether that's a conference game, non-conference game, doesn't matter who we're playing, be passionate about, you know, the purple and white. And so hopefully, you know, I know some people were, you know, might've been upset with some of his comments or whatnot, but you know, it's all in good spirit of, hey, we're K-State, you know, and let's support this team. Let's support these guys. No matter what, you know, whether we're winning, losing, you know, these guys are out there giving everything they have, right? And you know, they're bleeding purple and trying to do it for the school and for the state. And so, come out and support them, and obviously, it helps them play well.
Okay, Clint, West Virginia. I mean, this is a really difficult one to break down. Just to, you know, you get off to a pretty good start. You go up by 25 points at one point. You let it slip away. You're down late against West Virginia. I think they were down by 4, right? And so they claw back, get it to overtime. Of course, they always win. Are you encouraged by the fact that K-State won the game? And, you know, all that aside, they win? Or are you more maybe concerned with the way that K-State let that lead slip away?
Yeah, well, I think my biggest concern, and it really hasn't changed, is just the offensive rebounding that we've given up, you know. And look at the BYU game, we gave up 19 against West Virginia, we gave up 18. And I thought there were stretches in that game in the second half where West Virginia made some tough shots, but the ones they missed, they got offensive rebounds, they're able to get a second chance opportunity at it. So that's still my biggest concern. You know, I think offensively, we kind of went cold when they got hot, you know, and it was flipped in the first half. We were hot and they were cold, right? And so that's just the ebbs and flows of the game. You know, I think we would have liked to get more stops down at the end of the game, so maybe it didn't go into overtime. But hats off to West Virginia. Hats off to Josh Eilert, obviously former K-State basketball player and alum. And, you know, he did a good job having his guys prepared in that second half to come out and play really well. And, you know, Kirk Christian stepped up and made some tough shots. And sometimes that's the way it falls. So, you know, obviously when you're up 25, you don't expect for the game to get into overtime. You know, and so I think it's just one of those learnings we have to take into account and got to figure out ways to continue to score the ball and continue to get stops on the defensive end.
It was a really good way to summarize Kansas State's season, really. You know, you have your good stretches, you have your bad stretches, but in the end here, you know, you get the wins in overtime, which is what K-State's done all year. And obviously, you get it to overtime. I think that's kind of comparable to where we are right now. You know, you get yourself back on the bubble with a few wins over this last week, and now it's time for that five to grind, right, Clint? I want to ask you this, though. Did you get the sense that maybe K-State let its foot off the gas in the second half when it built up that comfortable lead and got complacent?
Yeah, you know, and I thought there were some defensive breakdowns that we had. But I, like I said, I think, too, West Virginia made shots. I mean, those guys made some really tough shots. You know, I mean, when you have Raekwon Battle, and we know he's one of the best players in the Big 12, but making step back threes over contested, I mean, there's not much else you can do. I mean, if he's going to make that shot, it's, you know, hey, I'm right there. I contested it, and, you know, he made it. I mean, it's better. It's good defense, better offense, you know. And so what you'd like to have seen is maybe we, you know, I thought we got to the free throw line decently, but, you know, we missed some opportunities at the free throw line, I think, in the second half. And, you know, we'd like to see us get more stops there. And, you know, the foot off the gas, you know, I think still goes back to, you know, what I mentioned about the rebounding, you know, and we just have to be better at when we do get the stop of corralling and gang rebounding to go ahead and get the ball and get on the other end of the floor. And I think that's going to be important for us moving forward.
You mentioned K-State was hot in the first half, cold in the second half, and, you know, vice versa for West Virginia. But in terms of Kansas State, three-point shooting, is that something that you think is sustainable for this team to maybe live and die by the three and hope that they can kind of get hot from beyond the arc in games? Or do you think that this offense needs to have some more, you know, guys going downhill, stuff like that?
Yeah, well, 11 for 19 in the first half against West Virginia. I don't know if that's sustainable. You know, it felt like we hit every shot we threw up, which was really nice. And, you know, but I do think that we have to be able to shoot from the outside to be able to compete and be able to win. And so, you know, we can't have games where we go 4 for 28. You know, that's not going to be good for us. You know, I think we have to have a healthy percentage, whether that's, you know, 6 for 13, whether that's 8 for 20, you know, a healthy percentage from the outside for us to win basketball games. But we also have to get to the free throw line. You look at our guys, you know, our main three scorers and Perry, Kaluma, and Carter, and they've done a really good job of taking advantage of the opportunities at the free throw line. You know, I think against West Virginia, I mean, they went 9 for 10, 9 for 10, 5 for 6. So, you know, if I add that up, quick math here, was that 18, 23 for 26. So, you know, when you have your best three players shooting 23 for 26 for the free throw line, hey, the more we can get there with those three guys, the better opportunity it is for us to score, and that points per possession goes up.
You mentioned the rebounding. Jarrell Colbert fouled out in that game against West Virginia, and so that's obviously a little costly. But Will McNair, I think, stepped up, had some good plays. And David Gasson, you know, earlier on in the year, I know fans were, you know, you got to think back, but fans were not happy with David Gasson. He maybe wasn't performing at the level that he wanted to be at. But now over this last couple of weeks, Gasson has been almost a difference maker. He's kind of joined. I don't think he's there yet, just because I don't know how much he can create his own shot, but he's joining or getting close to that group of Carter and Perry and Kaluma.
Yeah, well, he brings just kind of a different dynamic to the team. You know, obviously he can rebound the basketball. He's long and athletic, can get out, run the floor. And then when he's making a pump fake three, you know, that's when you know it's a good night for him. But, you know, he brings a lot of hustle, a lot of energy, you know, and I think having him come off the bench and bring that for us has been really, really good. And, you know, he's settling into that role, you know, and I think that's the thing early on. He was just kind of trying to figure out, like, where does he kind of fit within, you know, our three-headed monster with our three main scorers, and kind of where is he going to get opportunities. And now you see he's just settled into, I'm going to go play hard. I'm going to go make something happen, you know, and we need those kind of guys, especially from a role perspective, which will help us overall as a team. So He's playing well, and you mentioned Will McNair. You know, I think I saw a stat that said we're 9-1 when Will scores double figures. And I'll reiterate, man, when he gets the ball in the post or down by the block, I mean, he has one of the softest shots in that area in the paint. And so every time he shoots it down there, I think it's going in. I'm like, he's going to score. You know, I think there's still opportunities for us to utilize him in that capacity as well.
Jerome Tang has talked about over this last week or two, his staff coming together and finding ways for K-State to, I guess, so they said they don't want to make wholesale changes, right? And they tried to find little ways to get better here and there. And I think that, you know, in that West Virginia game, right, if you have one or two more turnovers or you let them get one or two more offensive rebounds, probably lose that game, right? So what have you seen, those fine, you know, details? What has K-State done well recently? Because Jerome Tang said it, but he's not gotten into like real specific things. What have you seen over these last few games that leads you to believe this team is having more attention to detail?
Well, I think, you know, even with our – you think about our turnovers, and we had 15 against West Virginia, you know, and then we had obviously double figures against BYU. But to me, one of the keys there is the opponent fast break points. And West Virginia had five, you know, I think BYU maybe had five as well. So even when you say, okay, there's 15 turnovers, but we only gave up five fast break points, I think that's really key. That tells you that some of our turnovers were either, you know, turnovers where the ball went out of bounds and we were able to get our defense set, or we were able to get back and make them still try to score it through our set defense. And so I think that's really important, you know, because the other team has, you know, 15, 20 fast break points. And then you look, I mean, that's when you have 15 turnovers, they could easily have 15 to 20 fast break points. You know, I think that would be an area of concern. So I think that's been really good. You know, rebounding wise, as I mentioned, we got to get better in that aspect. But, you know, you look over the last two games too, we've shot the ball tremendously well, you know, and you know, especially before the second half of the West Virginia game, I think we had three straight halves where we shot over 50%, you know, and so anytime you can shoot the basketball well, hopefully our guys are, you know, Perry's coming along now, like he's making shots. Hopefully he can continue doing that here down the stretch. You know, it's great to see, you know, Kaluma 28 against BYU, Perry 29 against West Virginia. I mean, those are tremendous numbers, you know, and so hopefully they're feeling really good here down the stretch and continue scoring the ball.
This is the time of year where you want to get hot and have things start click, right? So we'll have two more games to break down on the road at Cincinnati on Saturday and then KU coming up on the road as well. But first, a quick break here on the Friday Shoot Around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
Only game that we have this season from Cincinnati. Didn't have them here in Bramwich Coliseum at home. So I guess just your thoughts. Have you scouted them much? Cincinnati's a team that was kind of on the bubble for a while. Now they've sort of fallen off a little bit. But, I mean, I'm sure that you go to a Cincinnati video podcast, I'm sure they're talking about the exact same stuff that, Clint, we've been talking about. This is a team that needs wins if they want to get to the NCAA tournament. They need wins now.
Yeah, you know, and we got to go into their place, and it's always hard to win on the road. You know, they're coming off of losing three in a row. You know, they only lost to Houston at Houston by eight. They lost TCU was the kind of got out of hand for them, and then Oklahoma State beat them as well. But they have seven guys that average seven or more points per game, with the most being about 11.9 or 12 points per game. So they're well balanced. You know, I don't think they shoot the ball tremendously well from the outside, but you know, they're gonna be playing at home, so you know, they could get hot. You know, we can't let them get hot like we did obviously early against West Virginia, so we got to make sure that we protect the three-point line, make everything tough, you know, and obviously we want them shooting from the outside, but just make sure that we also finish that with the defensive rebound. And we have to rebound. You know, they're a good rebounding team. They're plus nine in rebounding margin, so we're gonna have to go in with the mindset of rebounding the basketball, and if we can win in that area of the game, then I think we'll be good.
You look back to the home losses against TCU and Oklahoma. You got to defend your home court in the Big 12, right? But when you do lose those games, okay, what's the next thing you got to do? go steal one on the road, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to go steal one on the road. And like I said, this is the time of the year that however you can get it, you can get it, right? And so whether we have to go into overtime, whether we get down 25 and come all the way back to win, whatever has to happen, we just have to figure out a way that we can win that basketball game on the road at Cincinnati. And that obviously keeps our NCAA tournament hopes alive.
I think you're probably the best person to ask, how do you beat KU inside of Allen Fieldhouse? You would know.
Oh, man, it's tough, man. It's tough. It's a crazy environment. I think Mark Pope from BYU said it. He said, walking in there at the tip off and just how crazy it is, how loud it is. He's like, he's never experienced something like that. And so it's a crazy environment. It's a hard place to go in and get comfortable, you know, but you have to get comfortable early, you know, and you can't allow them to jump out early on us and really kind of get that crowd going. And so I think from the very beginning, you have to settle in. You have to be very detailed in everything that you do. You got to understand that you're not going to get some of the calls that we've been getting, it's just the way it is. I'll leave it at that. But when you look at it, we've shot 31 free throws against BYU, 35 against West Virginia. I can guarantee you we're not shooting 30 against KU at KU. You got to make shots, got to get stops, but it takes everyone to be locked in and focused on the game plan. And then, you also need them hopefully to not shoot very well, and maybe they have a couple guys that have an off night and then we can take advantage of those opportunities.
I mean, it's probably mental toughness. Is that maybe the hardest, thing to overcome when you're playing in Allen Fieldhouse? The teams like Kansas is always they always have a good team, right? But you mentioned, maybe the officiating, maybe the crowd noise, the environment, is mental toughness the number one, thing that you have to have when you're playing at Kansas?
Yeah, well, you definitely have to be mentally tough. And, when it comes to that and understanding that them playing at home, it's almost like them getting spotted 10 points, right? And so you have to figure out a way to overcome that. You have to understand they're going to go on runs, right? And you can't get discouraged when they go on runs and then the crowd gets going. You have to stick together and kind of have a us against the world mentality, And so, anything that happens in there, you can't dwell on the previous play. You got to move on to the next one and be mentally tough to get through that. And then, you got to have all 15 guys stick together and figure out a way that we can go in and how do you play your best on the next possession, whether that's offensively, get the best shot we can get, or defensively, how can we get a stop and come together and do that? A lot of things that happen, when you're in a game like that, where it can be really loud with the crowd, it's hard to hear the coach on the sideline. So it takes some player leadership on the floor to make sure that guys are getting into the offensive sets they need to get into or communicating the right things on defense.
You're a coach. What would be your message to the K-State, players to the team right before you head out onto the court, out of the locker room, before that Kansas game? How do you win in that building and what are the things that you have to do? I know I just asked you that, but what would be your message to the team?
Go shock the world. Right. We haven't obviously beat them since 2006. Go shock the world tonight. Why not us? Tonight's the night that we put everything together. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Anytime you get a chance to play, not only, in the Big 12 or against, anybody, but obviously in Lawrence, tough environment. Let's go shock the world tonight. I'm prepared for the moment. We've been playing, shooting the ball really well. Let's go shoot it well. Let's get comfortable early and let's go do what we do, man. And then that's hoop, And so as long as we have that mentality of going out to we have something to prove, and we're playing to make the NCAA tournament. Let's go be desperate, and whatever we have, there shouldn't be anything, left in the tank at the end of the night, And so bring everything we have and leave it all on the floor.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing that Kansas just lost to BYU at home? Is that maybe the blueprint, that BYU is giving K-State how to win there? Or is that, tough for Kansas State because now KU is going to come out with maybe something more to play for?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think anytime it's KU, K-State, I don't know if there's any extra motivation that's needed from either side, just because of the rivalry and obviously KU, they're sitting on a the guys that are there are sitting on a, we don't want to be the team to lose to Kansas State at home, since it hadn't happened since 2006. And so I don't know if there's really any extra that needs to be there. I think it's kind of just one game. It's on its own. And everyone knows it's big stakes because of the rivalry and because, we beat them in Manhattan. So, mm-hmm. They're already going to come with that the mindset of, you know, they got to get business done at home. So, you know, I don't know if there's any extra motivation, but it should be obviously a fun game, and hopefully our guys will play well.
Let's take a step back and look at the overall picture for Kansas State. Do you think that three more wins from now until Selection Sunday will be enough? Now, obviously, you can get two in the regular season and then go get one in Kansas City. Is that going to be enough, three wins from now until, you know, March? I can't remember what, 16th or something. Is that going to be enough for this team to get in?
I think so. So if we, you know, if we obviously beat Cincinnati and then we split with KU and Iowa State, and then we go get one in the Big 12 tournament, we'll probably be a 9 or 10 seed going into the Big 12 tournament. You know, I think it would be enough. Obviously, I think if you get two in the Big 12 tournament, then you're definitely in. There's no doubt. But what can't happen is, you know, these last three games in the regular season, we can't go 0-3. We really don't want to go 1-2, you know, because I think you're going to need more games in the Big 12 tournament to kind of move up and prove your spot into the NCAA tournament. So, you know, if we finish 4-5 out of these last five, that means we have a really good quality win against either KU or Iowa State. You know, and then we go win one in the Big 12, and then hopefully that's what we need to get in.
Obviously, Cincinnati is not the best team in the country, but that's a quadrant one win if you get it, just because of the fact that it is on the road. And so, yeah, you know, if you get one of those two against KU or Iowa State, that's going to be great for your resume. But same thing with Cincinnati, right? I mean, just because they're not as good as those teams, still is going to be a good win on the resume.
Yeah, exactly. And it's on the road, you know, and we haven't played well on the road as of late. So we need a road win is really big for us. And I think Cincinnati is that team that we can get one against if we come in and shoot the ball and play well.
Kansas State hasn't had much success in Kansas City as of late in the Big 12 tournament. I guess just how could K-State overcome that? You look at what happened last year. They lose to TCU and pretty bad loss. Obviously, they turn it around real quick and go to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. But what are those keys to just winning in Kansas City? Because, Clint, it's probably going to be a situation where, you know, even if K-State goes 3-0 over these next three games, you're probably going to get one. You're probably going to want one in Kansas City just to feel safe on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, we typically have good crowds, you know, that show up. And, you know, obviously for us and for KU and in Kansas City, and you want to play well for the crowd and for the fans that show up and support the team. And, you know, it's a different environment. The good thing is, you know, we've played there before. And, you know, when we played Wichita State there. And so we should have a little bit more familiarity with playing in Kansas City. And hopefully our guys will be more comfortable than obviously the team that we're going to play against. But it's a neutral site. So even though, you know, we might have more fans there, you know, it's a neutral site. And we got to come in with the mindset of, you know, we need the game. And no matter who we're playing, we need it more than they need it. And, you know, and we got to get comfortable early in the game, and we got to defend really well, and hopefully we can do those things.
Let's circle back now to these two games coming up, okay? Obviously, if you're a K-State player or coach, you know that game against Kansas is going to be a rocking atmosphere, and so they've had that one, I'm sure, circled on the calendar. At the same time, though, they do treat every game like it's its own season. And so how do you, you know, if you're drum thing, how do you keep your guys locked in on this task at hand at Cincinnati, you know, without looking ahead to Kansas?
There's no other, if you want to make the NCAA tournament, there's no other choice. And we have to win this one on the road against Cincinnati, you know, and especially just given, you know, obviously KU at KU and even Iowa State at home, and they're playing, you know, as well as anybody in the country, you know, and they're tough out. And so, you know, it's, we have to lock in on this game if we want to make the NCAA tournament. And that's where I think that the focus has to be. And that has to be the message, right? And we always talk about the one game at a time. Well, it's, we want to make the NCAA tournament. This is the most important game. Those other games don't even matter. If we lose this game, those other games might not even matter, you know? And so, well, let's go win this one on the road, quadrant one win. And that's what it has to be. And then we can move on to the big showdown with KU.
You mentioned with the turnovers for Kansas State have, you know, been cut back a little bit. You know, the rebounding on the defensive end, you know, that needs to improve. Is there anything else over these, you know, last couple of games where Kansas State needs to really, you know, hone in on it if they want to win games?
Yeah, I mean, I think getting to the free throw line has been really good. So we've shot the ball well from the outside, but we've also, as I mentioned, got to the free throw line 30 times. 30 times or plus or more in our last two games, you know, and because our, you know, especially our top three guys shoot the ball so well from the free throw line, you know, that means that, you know, we get there, it's 90-85% chance, you know, we're going to score the basketball. And I think that's always key for us, you know, and so that can offset, you know, help offset any nights that we maybe don't shoot it as well as we have been. So we have to stay aggressive, you know, aggressive at the rim, getting there and knowing that, you know, with Perry, Kaluma and Carter, it's a high percentage that we're going to score on that possession. So I think that's the balance that we need, you know, when we talk about, you know, you're making shots from the outside, plus you're getting to the free throw line. That tells us that our offense is playing at a really high clip right now.
Even against KU, you're telling this team to try to go get to the free throw line?
Oh, man. We're not going to get 30. But if we can, you know, if we can get 15, 20, you know, I think that'd be really well. And then we'd definitely have to make some shots. But, you know, we can't be discouraged on going in there and challenging Hunter Dickinson. Obviously, if you get him in foul trouble early, you know, the better it is for us, the harder it is for KU. So, you know, we can't be afraid of going in and trying to challenge him early, especially in the first half where, you know, we get him out of the game and maybe we can take advantage of some of the inside, you know, our lack of inside presence that KU might have.
Okay, Clint. K-State's got two big ones coming up, both on the road away from Bramlage Coliseum. They've only won, what, I think it was just West Virginia, right? That's the only road win in Big 12 play. They did beat LSU on the road, right? So yep, they're capable of it, but, you know, the time is now to start turning things around in terms of playing on the road for Kansas State. So, Clint, as always, we appreciate your time, dude. You know, you know, this is the best part of you being on this show is, you know, I mentioned it. You're the one that knows how to beat KU. I hope these guys are listening to the Friday Shoot Around.
Appreciate it. It's always fun.
Yep. We'll be back next week here. Hopefully we're breaking down K-State victories. If not, we'll break down what went wrong for Kansas State. But again, appreciate you guys. If you're on YouTube watching, like, comment, subscribe, all the stuff. Fitz loves it, makes him very happy. But other than that, we'll talk to you guys next week.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.